We're in the series, it's Running with Giants. The nature of an athlete is that they're always managing and dealing with fatigue. Every athlete has to figure out how to manage and deal with fatigue in their life. Whether it's fatigue of muscles or fatigue of mind, the success of dealing with that fatigue really determines the success of the athlete. The Bible uses this metaphor that we've been looking at as far as this idea that the life of faith that we're in is a race. But the other part of this is that all of those that run in it are athletes. So whether you think you're an athlete or not, you're called to run a race and you're identified as an athlete. Now, the reason that that's important is because when we understand that we're an athlete, then what it does is it causes us to take seriously this life that we're in. In other words, there is a focus that's required and there's training and discipline like every athlete that's required for us. Also, that how we live our lives matter. This life of faith that we're in matters how you live. And that there's a reward for all of us who not just run well, but we're faithful to the end. God says, look it, I have a plan. And you are a part of this. We're not just running aimlessly. We're not just getting discouraged and walking the track. It's not like this is an exercise course and we're just kind of like, all right, round and round, here we go. This is something that we run intentionally with a purpose. Even Paul says that when he writes in 1 Corinthians. He says, I run with purpose in every step. No allowance for distractions. In Hebrews, there's this scripture that includes the fact that those that have finished the race and they've run the race beforehand and they are there cheering us on as athletes. And we've been looking at it. It tells us this. It says, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for all of us. So you know what? There's a race that's marked out for you. God has called you to a race. You're an athlete. Whether you feel like it, whether you look like it, doesn't matter. That's the plan that God has just in there. And now if we are in this race that we're running and we're focused and we're intentional on how we live, how would it be if there were those that were cheering us on? Those that were encouraging us? Those that maybe might be in the stands, these spiritual stands? What would they say from their experience? What would they say? What warnings would they give? And you know what? I say this... not just cautiously, I say this, I want us to hear it. I want to really settle with us. There's a lot of us, we don't want to hear what other people have to say. We don't want to learn from other people. I know better. You don't have to tell me what to do. This is my race, I'll run it the way I want to. We don't want to look at other people's mistakes, and we don't want to look at other people's examples, and we don't want to say, hey, you know what? I need to learn from them. But the truth is that we do. We need to pay attention to these examples, these people that have lived before, because they have some important words to say that they are giving this kind of warning that says, for God's sake, please do not do what I've done. Please do not make the mistakes that I made. If there is anything that you can do to stay away from this area, stay away, because, man, it cost me a lot. See, we're talking about these spiritual giants. They're not perfect people. They're not flawless people. But here's the thing with spiritual giants. What makes them spiritual giants is they're challenged to believe that God can through circumstances that say otherwise. We all have circumstances that say that nothing's going to change this. And these are people that in those circumstances chose to believe that God could. That God could do what he said he could do. It's what set them apart. They learned to trust God and it set them apart. And God wants that for all of us. So here's the thing. Today, we're looking at a guy that you might know. And we got to listen. We got to listen to this guy, okay? His name is Samson. And if you haven't read his story, you can find his story in Judges chapter 13 through 16. And Samson is mentioned in this hall of faith, this chapter 11 of Hebrews, that mentions all these great spiritual people, these spiritual giants. Here's the thing, you would never think that Samson should be in that chapter. And the reason is because he lived an inconsistent life. And when I say inconsistent, here's what I mean. It was not a series of highs and lows. It was a series of obedience and disobedience. It was a series of devotion and the lack of devotion. That's what identified his life. That's what marked him. It wasn't just like, hey, I'm having a good day. Oh, I'm having a bad day. That wasn't it. This is like devotion and the absence of devotion. This is like honest, dishonest. So you might say, why was Samson even mentioned then? Why did God mention? Because a lot of times, well, here's what we do. We look at people in this hall of faith, these spiritual giants, and we think, oh, you know what? They're spiritual giants because they live this flawless life. And that's not true. They're spiritual giants because they learned how to finish the race. They finished well. That is why Samson is here. Not because of anything great that he did. I mean, he did great things. God used him. But this was about how he finished. And how he finished is really what got him in there. So, let's look at Samson's life for a little bit. Samson was called to defeat the Philistines, an enemy of the Israelites. Samson was called to be a protector, a judge, and a leader for the people of Israel. And God gave him exceptional, supernatural strength, unlike any other human. And yet, Samson was dishonest, deceitful, prideful, and arrogant. He hung out with the wrong crowd. He ends up with this girl named Delilah, and you might have heard her story. We'll talk a little bit about her. But Samson shares his secret with God's anointing on why God's anointing is on his life. He shares that with Delilah, and it's in his hair that his hair has never been cut. And so what she does is she has someone come in. She cuts his hair off, and he is captured then by the Philistines. He loses his strength, and they capture him, and they gouge his eyes out. And they hook him up to what the oxen would use to grind grain. And he spends the rest of his life in darkness walking in circles. Now, it's not a good story. And listen, I say this with utmost respect for all of us. How many people in our lives, I mean, maybe it's you. You spend your life in darkness without a sense of clarity, walking in circles. No sense of purpose, no sense of direction. Yes. We can look at Samson's life and go, man, that guy screwed up, messed up, bad. See, Samson didn't ruin his life all at once. Samson ruined his life one step at a time. It was a step, another step, and another step. And all of these steps led him to a very bad place. If we were able to speak to Samson, I think that Samson would definitely want to talk to us about the one thing that probably most marked his life, and that was losing his eyesight. But here's what I think Samson would say. I think Samson would say this. You don't have to lose your eyes to be blind. You don't have to lose your eyes to be blind. In fact, I would think he would say, you can actually be blind with eyesight. I think that's what he would say. I was blind way before my eyes were gouged out. Do not be blind like I was, is what Samson would say. We can lose our ability to see. Not with our physical eyes, but we can lose our ability to perceive and understand and be aware of what's actually happening around us. The importance of what's going on around us. Unable to perceive what God is doing. Unable to understand what God is saying to us. It's a danger that we kind of live in of continued poor choices, and we do not understand how bad these choices are, and we're actually blind to the choices that we're making and how they're leading us in a terrible direction. And that's what Samson would say. I was blind to the choices that I was making year after year, day after day, and it was taking me in a direction and I was totally unaware of it. See, I believe that Samson would say this. We can be blind to God's purpose for our life. Now, I've talked about this the last couple of weeks, and I want to continue, and I believe that God's really put it on my heart to talk about this. Because I don't believe that we really get this. Samson would say, I was blind to God's purpose for my life. Because God called Samson to a life of great purpose. He anointed him. He gave him a special ability. He gave him favor, supernatural strength. And here's what Samson did. He took that and he tossed it aside and he sought out his own purpose for his life. Even though God set him apart from the very beginning, before Samson was even born, God set him apart and established a purpose for his life, and Samson just tossed it aside. Here's how Samson's life started. It said an angel of the Lord came to Samson's mom and said, you will be pregnant and have a son whose head is never to be touched by a razor because the boy is to be a Nazarite, The word Nazirite simply means separated, consecrated to the service of God. A Nazirite, they took a Nazirite vow, and that vow was three things. It was a voluntary vow. And they would take it, and it would be for a certain period of time in their life. And there's three things that they made a vow: that they would never touch alcohol, that they would never touch a corpse, and that they would never cut their hair. It set them apart. And people knew that they were set apart. You could tell that they were set apart. Their hair was long. And that was their devotion and their vow to God. And Samson is set apart from the very beginning, from his birth. And it goes on and it says this, that he is to be dedicated to God from his womb, and he'll take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines. And here's the problem, is that God called him to defeat the Philistines for the Israelites, not to become enslaved by them. And yet that's exactly what happened. God put a call on his life to defeat the Philistines, to free the Israelites from the Philistines. And instead, Samson became enslaved by them. Samson didn't follow God's purpose. And we would say, why in the world would Samson not follow it? And I would think it's maybe this. Samson never saw his calling clearly. He never really saw his calling clearly. In fact, I would say maybe it might be a little bit clearer. Samson lost sight of the man that he was created to be. And you know what? It's a trap that all of us fall into. We have this tendency to fall into this trap that God has a plan and a calling, but we don't understand it. We might have even lost sight of the person that God has created you to be and us to be. We go through life without a clear sense of God's direction and that our lives really matter, that our lives actually have a purpose, that God really wants to use you, that he has created you with a purpose. You personally are called and set apart to be used of God. We kind of look at a calling as something that only happens to pastors or maybe people in ministry. That's not true. God calls all of us. He sets us all apart for his service. And here's why this is important. When we have a clear sense of God's calling on our life, we make better choices. When we have a clear understanding of the purpose of our life, we make better choices. I'll be straight up. I make better choices in my life because I am your pastor. If I was not your pastor, I might not be making some of the choices that I make. But you know what? I do because I don't want to be a bad example. I don't want my decisions and my choices to offend you. I don't want them to be something that brings discouragement or leads you down a wrong path. I have to make good choices because I know that my example matters. That's a part of my calling. I accept that. But listen, God's called all of us. And when we understand that God has called us, then it kind of brings us to this place where we're forced to make good choices. Because here's the thing, our calling reminds us that you belong to God. It reminds us that your life really matters. It's not just endless days, it's not just meaningless days. Every day matters. Your calling reminds you that your life is about God and others. It's not about you. Listen, my life's not about me. But you know what? We've got to be reminded of that, because there's a lot of times what happens is we just kind of think, after a long time, we think our life is just about us. See, what happens is if we're out of touch with God's call of our life, then we will settle for an earthly counterfeit. In fact, the counterfeit will be something that we create ourselves. We'll say, I don't understand God's calling for my life, so I'll just make my life about this. In Proverbs, it says this, where there's no clear revelation for your life, okay? We're like, whatever. If I don't have clear revelation, what we do is we cast off restraint. It says this. This is what it means. Basically, when we don't understand our calling and our purpose in life, then we start living our life as if my life doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I sin. It doesn't matter where I go. It doesn't matter how I spend my money. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter my friends I keep. It doesn't matter how I live my life. It doesn't matter because I've cast off all restraint. We have a hard time with restraint. But yet the calling of God on our life forces us to consider our actions, consider our lifestyle, if you would. Here's the danger: the danger is that we can be distracted to live a life that has nothing to do with God's calling on our life. And Samson was blind to God's purpose for his life because he was blinded by a divided heart. And here's, if I could just make this clear, while Samson was devoted externally with his vows, so he didn't drink and he didn't touch a corpse and he didn't cut his hair, and people on the outside look and say, wow, what a devoted guy. Internally, his heart was not devoted. It's a divided heart. Samson was not only blind to God's purpose, but I think he would also say this: we can be blind to the power of relationships. And I say that because bad relationships are powerful in a bad way, but good relationships are powerful in a good way. We can't afford to underestimate the power of relationships. And in this story, what we see is this. It says, when Samson returned, he said to his father and his mother, I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah, and she is hot. Now go get her for me. I want her for my wife. And his father and mother replied, isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all of our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife? But Samson said to his father, get her for me. She's the right one. Okay? Samson's basically telling his parents, you know what? I don't care what you think. I know what's better. I know what's right for me. And I say this with the utmost respect for us. How many times do people try to warn us and we go, you know what, that's fine for you, but I know what's right for me. We don't accept people's warnings because we don't believe that we would make a bad choice. Or maybe it's because we just believe, you know what, I want to do what I want to do. His parents were saying, come on, there's got to be somebody. And they said, there has to be. Why are you looking among the uncircumcised women? And when they say uncircumcised, that simply means somebody with a different set of values, somebody with a different set of beliefs. It was not a racial thing. It was somebody with a different set of beliefs. And the New Testament refers to it this way when it says this, why would you be joined to an unbeliever? What communion has light with darkness? Don't marry somebody that is not a Christ follower because you don't share the same beliefs in common. That's what the Bible tells us. That's what the New Testament tells us. That's exactly what this is an issue of being uncircumcised. So what Samson didn't realize is Samson was blind to the fact that this was the worst decision of his life, and he would spend a lifetime being defined by this one relationship. And you've got to know that Samson, if he was standing here, he would say this, I never thought it was going to be that bad. I never thought that it really mattered that much. But you can't underestimate the power of bad relationships. And yet, our lives reflect the people that we hang out with. Scripture, you know, I've read it to you before in 1 Corinthians, don't be blind, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. We know that. Undevoted people cannot encourage you to a devoted life that God has called you to. Undevoted people cannot encourage you to a life that God has called you to of devotion to Him. And it's important that we realize that good relationships help us in a good way. They help us to see clearly the choices that we're making. And we need the eyes of those around us that are devoted to God and love us that point out the dangers. And we need to be open to accept that. Here's the thing. Samson was blinded by pride. Samson was blinded by pride. In fact, the issue is he believed that he knew better than the people that God had put in his life. And I want you just to consider that, if you would, that the people that you have in your life are not just there at random. The people that you have that love God and are around you are God-ordained. That God puts people in our lives, and sometimes we don't want to hear what they have to say. Samson would also say this, that we can be blind to the nature of God. Samson had God's anointing and he had God's ability and had this supernatural strength. And Delilah wanted to know, what's the source of this strength? Where do you get this strength? But here's the problem. You know, Samson, he's already sleeping with her. He's with the wrong person. She's not devoted like he's supposed to be. He's with somebody that's devoted to something else other than God. He's full of pride, and even with all these issues that Samson's allowing in his life, God's presence is still with him. Though he's living an undevoted life, God's power still remains on him. And here's the problem, if I can just point this out, that Samson's response was this, I can do what I want and God will forgive me. I'm sure that none of you have thought that. All of us think it. I can do what I want and God will forgive me. I can live how I want and I know that God will forgive me. And what Samson was doing was rationalizing the same old sin. It's just the cycle. He was rationalizing the same old sin. And what he did is he misunderstood God's mercy. God's mercy is that we get what we don't deserve. We get love, acceptance, forgiveness, all those things. We don't deserve that. Mercy is we get what we don't deserve. And Samson was blind to that. He understood God's mercy as God's acceptance. He understood God's mercy, that God's favor was still on him. That, in other words, that God was condoning his life and it was okay, though he knew it wasn't. And Samson took advantage of a forgiving God who is patient and long-suffering with us. And he did it again and again and again. It scriptures this and reads this way. After putting him to sleep on her lap, okay, that's a talk right in itself, but after putting Samson to sleep on her lap, Delilah called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. And then she called, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." And he woke from his sleep, and he thought, here's what he thought, "I'll go out as before and shake myself free." In other words, the Lord will forgive me. I'll go out and do what I've done before. But he did not, and get this, he did not know that the Lord had left him. And then the Philistines seized him, and they gouged out his eyes, and they took him down to Gaza, and they bound him with bronze shackles, and they set him to grinding grain in the prison. And you talk about a meaningless life, and here's a guy with great purpose, and now he is reduced to grinding grain. We can be blind to the nature of God. I want to be careful how I say this because I want to make sure we hear it. We can be blind to the nature of God ourselves, because here's what happens is we choose to see what we want to see. We choose to see God as we want to see him. We want God to be loving, kind, forgiving, accepting, okay? And God is all those things. But God is also a judge. God is also a God of wrath. God is also a God of justice. So just like we look at God and we say he's a God of love, he is, and he's a God of wrath. He will allow you and I to reap what we've sown in our life. He will allow that because he respects your will to choose. I pray that we never grow complacent to just seeing what we want to see from God, that he's always going to be accepting and we never see any other side of him. We never see his true nature. That's what happened with Samson. He was blind to the nature of God. And I think the reason he was blinded by the nature of God is because Samson was blinded by arrogance. In other words, this will never happen to me. I'm bigger than this. I am special. And Samson never assumed that his disobedience would cost him, but it did. Samson never assumed that his disobedience would cost him. Now, Samson's finished running the lap with us. It's time for him to go back up into the stands, and he's going to give us these final words of encouragement. I think that Samson would give us a few things that he would say that would be really pointed for us to hear, and that first one would be this: protect God's presence in your life. And maybe a better way to say it is not protect, but to cultivate God's presence in your life. In other words, don't take it for granted. Do whatever it takes to enhance God's presence in your life. Listen to God's voice when God is speaking. Take him seriously. I know this right now for a fact. I know this. I'm not just saying this. I know this. I know that God's Spirit is speaking right now to every one of us in this room about our lives personally. Maybe it's a sin you've rationalized. Maybe it's pride. Maybe you haven't taken relationships seriously. All those things. God is speaking to you. And what we tend to do is we go, yeah, that's true. And then we walk out of here and we do nothing. If you're going to cultivate God's presence in your life, you've got to listen to his voice and you've got to take him seriously. And the way that we cultivate God's presence is obedience. When he tells us to do something, we do it. If we want what God has to offer, then we have to do what God says to do. And I'm sure that Samson would say this: whatever you do, do not allow a divided heart to blind you to the voice of God in your life, because God spoke to him so many times and he didn't listen. When you know what's right, do it. When the Spirit is speaking to you and you know the right thing to do, do that. Don't rationalize it away. Don't think, oh, you know what, I'll think about it. An undivided heart is a heart that belongs completely to God. And 1 Thessalonians reminds us that not to put out the Spirit's fire within us. When God is speaking, listen. If there's an area in your life that you're not listening to God, or maybe you're not listening, living in obedience to God, you know what that is. I know what that is in my life, but I either continue to rationalize it or I deal with it. And the way that we deal with it is we put God first. If we're going to cultivate God's presence, and we have to put God first, and we experience God's presence when we develop a devoted heart. And a devoted heart is God first in our life. Here's the second thing that I think that Samson would say. I know Samson would say, choose your relationships carefully. Nurture important ones. Restore broken ones. Sever harmful ones. Initiate spiritual relationships. Do you have people in your life that you have given permission to speak into your life? Do you have people in your life that you are committed to and you're praying with and you're praying for? Or are you just kind of living your life and you're just kind of going through the motions and, you know what? Yeah, I've got people that are praying for me somewhere around the world. I don't know. You know, that's not what they would say. He would say, man, good relationships are really important. Invest in those. Bad relationships are really harmful. Stay away from those. People that are not devoted to God will not lead you closer to God. Proverbs 13 tells us, become wise by walking with the wise, hang out with fools, and your eyes will get gouged out. No, it doesn't say that. It says, your life will fall to pieces. Look, for some of you, your next step is, maybe this is an important thing, getting into a connection group so that you get some important spiritual relationships in your life. I think last thing Samson would say is this, failure is never final. It's part of the story that I haven't mentioned yet. There Samson is, tied to a grain mill, walking in circles, darkness all around him, no power of God in his life, and all he has are regrets. Think about it. Day after day, he walks in circles and he grinds this grain. And all he can think about is how he's blown it all of his life. All the times that he hardened his heart to what God was saying. All the times that he was blind and he chose blindness over seeing clearly. But then it says this, then Samson prayed to the Lord, Sovereign Lord, remember me again, O God. Please strengthen me just one more time. Because that's the kind of God we serve, a God of second chances. When we cry out to God, he gives us another chance. And in Samson's life, strength came back to him and he was led to two pillars. And he grabbed the two pillars and God's strength came into his life. And he brought down these two pillars and he brought down the Philistine temple. And the scripture says that Samson killed more Philistines in that one act than he had in all the other acts that he had done combined. Failure is only final when we refuse to get back up. That's what Proverbs says. It tells us, it says, the godly may trip seven times, but they get up again and again. Here's what they say. And I don't know who they are, but they're right a lot of times. They say that people change when they hit the bottom. You ever heard that? People are only going to change when they hit the bottom. But if I could just say this, I say this as a warning to all of us, right? The bottom's hard, and the bottom leaves a mark. While God redeems Samson's life, Samson's still blind, and he never regains his sight. And when he brings down the temple, it cost him his own life as well. That's not the plan that God had for Samson's life. That's not what God wanted. The outcome, the end result, was what God had said he would do. But this wasn't the plan. It could have been so much different for him. See, even in our failures, God can still accomplish his purpose. And God can restore. You might say here and say, you know what? My life has a lot of failures. And I would say, yep, I get it. Dave, my life has many flaws. And I would say, yep, I understand. But do not wait to hit the bottom to bring change in your life. Do not wait to hit the bottom to think then I'll see clear enough and I can make a decision. Because you know what? People that hit the bottom are left to a life of addiction. People that hit the bottom are marked by divorce and pain and hurt. people are left with many things, many wounds in their lives because they've hit the bottom. The bottom is just a long process in a consistent direction. Please don't misunderstand me. We all fail. But our fear should not be failure. Our fear should be succeeding at something that doesn't matter because we've missed God's purpose for our life. That's what God created you for. He created you with a purpose. And we all have this ability today to begin to see clearly, to begin to allow God to open our eyes, to remove anything that would blind us from God's purpose. Because you know what? Your life matters. The purpose that God has for you is so good, and it matters. And if you refuse to see it, if you ignore it, it's a choice of being blind. Allow God to open your eyes today. Sing a song like that and say, "All my life, God, you've been faithful. All my life, God, you're so good." And we can walk out of here and go, "I'm going to still keep living the way I want to live. And I'm going to look at God's acceptance and God's goodness as ain't nothing going to happen to me." I'm just here to give a warning to all of us. I feel like that's what Samson would do. You might be saying, "Dave, I don't know who you think you are. You're not perfect." And I would be the first one to say, "You're absolutely right. I'm taking this seriously to heart." Have you lost sight of the person that God created you to be? Have you become blind with a divided heart? Have you come up with your own purpose for living? Have you allowed pride to set in, or maybe arrogance? Pride that says, "I know better." Arrogance that says, "Nothing's going to happen to me." I just want to remind you, God has something great for you. Man, it's so great. It's huge. Cultivate God's presence in your life. Listen to His voice. Your relationships matters. Invest in good relationships. But failure does not have to be final in your life. But here's the thing, and I just want to point this out. Failure in your life does not have to be final, but in failure, time can run out. The bottom can leave a lasting mark. It doesn't have to, though. Father, we come to you today, and there's some that, Father, we've just lost sight of the person we've created to be. We've come up with our own purpose, maybe, or we've allowed a divided heart to develop, and we've allowed pride as if we know better and nothing's going to happen to us, and we've just missed your nature. We've been blind to your true nature, Father. And Father, I come to you today. We all come to you today. We don't want to be blind to our condition. We don't want to have to hit the bottom to see change made in our life. And so, Father, what I ask today is that you would open our eyes and allow people in our lives to help us to be open, help our hearts to be open to the good relationships that you placed in our lives. Father, help us be attentive to your voice and help us to cultivate that. Help us to live intentionally. Father, may your purpose define us. May your calling set us apart. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.